The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th Century. The 4th Century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
The Reverend Frank Schaefer of Lebanon, Pennsylvania, has found himself in some hot water, not in the legal sense in terms of civil laws, but in terms of his church's laws. The United Methodist Church, in the United Methodist Church, it is in fact illegal in church law sense to officiate at a same-sex marriage. Well, he has his son's same-sex marriage, and he intends to do it again if necessary. Now, he does have some backing from his fellow United Methodist ministers, but what is the full story here, and what could become of the Reverend Frank Schaefer of Lebanon, Pennsylvania, for performing his son's same-sex marriage? Mark Tooley is going to join us here in just a minute to talk about this and to fill in the gaps, but first, let's listen to ABC's Good Morning America. They covered the story as well.
Pastor under fire for his role in his son's same-sex wedding ceremony. The Reverend broke Methodist church law officiating the wedding and now faces a church trial that could lead to him being defrocked. ABC's Rena Ninen has much more on this. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Robin. The United Methodist Church says it's faithful. The 11 million around the world focuses on putting faith and love into action. That's exactly what one reverend did. Now the church is asking questions.
He is the minister willing to give it all up for his son, even if it means being forced out of the priesthood of the United Methodist Church for officiating his gay son's wedding.
I felt totally honored, and I was full of joy.
Reverend Frank Schaefer says his son Tim was forced to admit he was gay at 17, but instantly he and his wife accepted the news.
He had cried himself to sleep many times, and he knew that this wasn't right, because he had heard that message from his church.
Schaefer says he informed his superiors he was going to perform the wedding back in 2007, and they did nothing to stop him. But 6 years later, a parishioner complained. Now the minister will face trial before a jury of his church peers Monday to determine whether he can remain a pastor.
What is my crime? I blessed two people that loved each other.
We ask you, Lord, for understanding.
He's buoyed by support, like this candle vigil, and from fellow ministers.
Jesus, our Lord and Savior, never mentioned homosexuality at all. And my point is, if it is that important of an issue, why didn't he mention it?
If your dad is defrocked and forced out of ministry, do you believe it was worth it?
I do. This is getting the conversation started to revisit really discriminatory policies, and I think that will have made it worth it.
Despite what the verdict brings, he said he would do it all again.
They're your children. They're your flesh and blood.
A Facebook page supporting Reverend Schaefer has received more than 2,000 likes. We did reach out to the church, but Robin, they declined to comment.
But again, he didn't try and get away with anything. He informed his superiors when he was doing it. They had no problem. And then a parishioner comes forward 6 years later.
6 years later, and they said they really wanted this to be a private ceremony. They didn't want to do this real big public announcement and bring it back in. And they feel very moved that this is an issue that affects a lot of people in America.
It gets the conversation going again. Rena, thank you.
One thing's for sure, he's a loving dad.
Yes, he is.
That's ABC's Good Morning America. Joining us to talk about this story, Mark Tooley. He's president of the Institute on Religion and Democracy and founder of the United Methodist Committee for the Institute on Religion and Democracy. He's author of the books Taking Back the United Methodist Church and Methodism and Politics in the 20th Century. Mark, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Yes, always good to be with you.
That scenario that was discussed in the package there is what I find most curious. This was something that was done not with the permission of, but at least with the knowledge of church officials back in 2007, 2008. Is that pretty typical, that kind of scenario where a guy, a minister in the United Methodist Church might say, hey, I'm going to do this, just giving you a heads up, and no one says no to it in the United Methodist Church?
Well, he's been quoted publicly as claiming to have informed his superiors without naming who that was. So there would be a district superintendent who typically presides over several dozen local clergy, and then there's a bishop who presides over the whole conference, which is the equivalent of a diocese of hundreds of clergy. So who knows? Potentially he had a district superintendent who was sympathetic to his situation and didn't say anything or just didn't make the time to respond.
What does the United Methodist Church's law, so to speak, church law, have to say on this issue, if anything?
Church law says homosexual practice is incompatible with Christian teaching and prohibits the ordination of practicing homosexuals and prohibits clergy and churches from hosting same-sex unions.
What is the on-the-ground kind of grassroots practice? Is this an isolated incident, a singular incident in the United Methodist Church?
Well, all of the, there are, I believe, 69 United Methodist bishops around the world, of whom there are about 50 in the U.S., and many of those 50, perhaps up to half or more, disagree with the church's official stance on marriage and sexuality, but all of them have said they are obliged to uphold church law. Of late, there have been, to our knowledge, perhaps six or seven publicly known celebrated same-sex unions that are facing potential church trials, and that includes one retired bishop who several weeks ago conducted one in Birmingham, Alabama. And then last Saturday, there was a group of, a total of 50 clergy, but only 30 or 35 were United Methodists, who convened a same-sex union at a Philadelphia Methodist church. So how common is it? Well, there are 35,000 United Methodist churches and over 40,000 clergy. So it can be assumed the vast majority are upholding church law, but there is a very outspoken dissident minority who are angry that they have been unable to win legislatively at the church's governing general conference, which met last year and refused to in any way compromise the church's teachings on this issue.
What would a church trial consist of?
Well, the bishop appoints a prosecutor, and the defendant chooses whoever he or she chooses to serve as the equivalent of their defending attorney. And then there's a jury selected of clergy in that area.
Is that jury, I guess, with the amount of dissent that exists among the bishops and the clergy on this issue in the United Methodist Church, would that jury be obligated to uphold the official position, or could they act contrary to it?
Well, I should point out also that the equivalent of a judge is typically a retired bishop who was brought in. So in this case, this trial will have a retired bishop who recently served in North Carolina. But yes, my understanding would be that all the jurors will be instructed that, regardless of their own views, they are obliged to uphold church law. And I think during the jury selection process that both the prosecutor and the defense representative can query the jury pool about their views on this issue.
Several other questions with regard to the thinking of the Reverend Frank Schaefer and those who are supporting him. They refer to the United Methodist Church's official position on homosexuality as discriminatory policies. How do you respond to that?
Well, I mean, I guess in that sense, it discriminates against everybody because the church, like all churches, believes the world has fallen and that every single human being who's ever lived is a sinner who, of course, needs forgiveness and repentance, which, of course, is available abundantly through Jesus Christ, we believe. So the church has a teaching, like virtually every other church in the world, that marriage is a union of man and woman. And so every clergy who has gone through the ordination process made vows to uphold the church's teachings, and yet those who are celebrating same-sex unions somehow think that they can disavow the vows they once made to make this kind of a political statement. And, of course, the United Methodist Church is, like all churches, a voluntary organization, and I would suggest if you feel that strongly against its official standards, then maybe it's not the denomination where you need to serve.
Finally, we heard the Reverend Schaefer say there that Jesus was silent on the issue. Is what's your reaction to that, and is that a sufficient defense for his actions? About a minute before we close it.
A common but peculiar claim. First of all, the language Jesus used to regarding adultery, my understanding is that it included all sex outside of heterosexual marriage. It was not just about adultery involving married spouses. It includes premarital, extramarital sex, and homosexuality, and a wide range of other sexual behaviors. Secondly, of course, the words of Jesus, Christians believe, are not just the red-letter words of the Bible, but the whole of Scripture is the Word of God, and Jesus, of course, is, we believe, himself God. Third of all, the Church itself, universally and historically, has had a definition of marriage that has been male and female from the very start, and in fact, the whole of Scripture in its metaphors and symbolism equates and compares marriage to the sacred union between God and his people, between God and the Jewish people in the Old Testament, between God and the Church in the New Testament. And so it's a very important symbolism, and to step away from that symbolism is really to begin to completely redefine the Christian faith.
Mark Tooley is president of the Institute on Religion and Democracy and founder of the United Methodist Committee for the IRD. He's author of the books Taking Back the United Methodist Church and Methodism and Politics in the 20th Century. You'll find a link to the Institute on Religion and Democracy under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Mark, thanks for your time.
Thank you so much.
When we come back, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute joins us to respond to the Slate magazine article, The Dutch Don't Care About Marriage and Americans Can Learn a Lot from Their Indifference. Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois, and Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Would you like to help your son or daughter achieve their maximum athletic potential? Hi, this is Jeff Schwarz, General Manager of Lutheran Public Radio. My friend, fellow parishioner, and certified athletic trainer, Kevin Reisick, is the owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. Arch Fitness specializes in sports performance training for middle school to collegiate level athletes. For more information, call Kevin at 618-670-6952. 618-670-6952.